Exodus chapter 28. And reading from verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the name or the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come once again before you in the precious name of your Son Jesus, remembering these words which we spoke last week, how that you chose Aaron, because Aaron had a heart that was willing to get out of the way. He had a great gift, which you said, your prophet said, the greatest of all gifts is to get ourselves out of the way, and he was willing to decrease that Moses might increase. And so, Lord, we recognize that there's a certain qualification to wear that breastplate, and realizing that in the New Jerusalem will be kings and priests. Therefore, Father, we believe that you'll be training us for that position. Even as your Son Jesus saw how you performed in the role of Melchizedek as the Father, and now, Father, we recognize that your Son Jesus has been performing that role of priest for the last 2,000 years. Not that he had on-the-job training, not that he had tried to work things out, but he already had the example. He already had the role played out for him. And so, Father, we recognize in the examination of this role which your Son has played, and we come into the image of your Son, we realize, Lord, that there will be a role that we must play as well in the New Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to that role and to the preparation of that role. Now we ask that you'd help us to better understand the tools which you will give us in that role, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So now remember, we're looking at the breastplate, and the series has been the colors of the living fountain. And we talked about how these roles, or how these colors came out. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And so we're going to look tonight at the breastplate again. Remember last week, instead of actually focusing on the breastplate itself, we focused more on the quality of the person that was called to wear that breastplate. And let's not forget that as they had the breastplate in that day, we have the Word of God in this day. Remember, the Word of God is God-breathed. And when the priest went into the tabernacle, the breath of God would move upon the lamp of God, which, what does a lamp represent? A light, but what does that represent? The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. So it's the Word of God. So as the Word of God breathed upon the Word, or as the breath of God breathed upon the Word, it actually brought that Word to life. It brought that light to a moving light. It brought it to life. And as it then reflected upon the stones, as it hit upon the stones, and I'm just going to show you what those stones look like. This is a picture of what the graphically of what the breastplate of Aaron would look like. And if you notice, it was blue in color, showing the priesthood. But then notice the stones. We have red, green, and blue. Basically, that's it. And we have one that's transparent. This is actually should be, well, it's actually flipped around because the diamond is transparent. But notice it reflects the seven colors. So what we have then is the first one. Notice the alpha is red, and the last one, actually, this is flipped around. It must have been a reversed image, because the last one is jasper, which is omega. Remember, he's the sardine and jasper. He was to look. We looked upon him as sardine and jasper when John saw him. And so alpha and omega, the red being the blood, and the amber being the pillar of fire. So, now remember, the breastplate was designed by God Himself, and through it, He would reveal His divine will to man. And the breastplate was designed with the name of the 12 tribes engraved on the stones that were placed in four rows of three stones each, Each of the 12 stones represented one tribe of Israel, and therefore all the people of Israel, as the high priest came into the as the high priest came into the presence of God, he carried over his heart the names of each of the tribes of Israel. Now, let me just draw this out for you. I wish I had different colored pens up here. Maybe I do. And maybe I don't. Okay, we'll just pretend this is a different color. Okay. What we have is there's four rows and three in each row. Now the first stone, I guess I'll have to kind of draw it like a stone here. Okay, the first one was for the tribe of Judah. Remember, he comes the first time, or he comes, as a line of tribe of Judah. It's Sardius stone, or sardine stone, and it's red. The second stone is Issachar, the tribe of Issachar. And its topaz is a stone, and it's pale green. And the third is Zebulun. Whose carbuncle is a stone, and it's deep red. Next we have Reuben, I guess when I think of Reuben, I think of a sandwich. But this is green. It's an emerald. Then we have Simeon. And by the way, this is the order of birth. We have sapphire. I think there's two P's in there. And that's a deep blue. And then we have Gad, and it's a diamond, and it's transparent. Actually, it would be all seven colors. It reflects. Then we have Ephraim. And by the way, this will be on the web with actually a layout like this, and also with the picture. So if any of you want to download the study, it'll be easy to do that. You actually can print out the pictures and things. Ephraim is a ligur, which is a dull red. And actually, it kind of can be red, orange, you know, kind of a mix between orange and red. It's kind of a dull red. And then we have Manasseh. Which is an agate. Which is white and red. Which some people call it a what stone? Remember, Brother Branham had the stone that the guy said he had gotten from Calvary, and it had the red running through it, and they called it a bloodstone because it looked like it had blood vein going through it. And then we have Benjamin, and it's actually not the order of birth, but it's the month that they were born in.
and they represent birthstones in today's society. And that's purple. Then we have Dan. Which is a burl, and it's bluish green, kind of turquoise looking. Then we have Asher, which is an onyx, and it's bluish white. And finally, we have Naphtali, and that stone is jasper, and it's green. Now, notice the alpha, red, and the omega. And that's very important when we're looking at these colors, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Notice each of the 12 stones represented one tribe of Israel, and therefore all the people of Israel, as the high priest came into the presence of God, basically represented on his chest. So Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Remember, this the name represents the seed line. And the seed line, of course, represents whose seed you are. See? And it all comes back to one breastplate into one presence of one God. See? So, anyway, as the high priest came into the presence of God, he carried over in his heart the names of each tribe of Israel, which is God's heritage. The breastplate contained 12 gemstones. The material of the breastplate was woven with threads of gold and blue, purple and scarlet linen threads. The number of the threads and the order of the colors were, according to the targums, one of gold, six of blue, six of purple, and six of scarlet. The breastplate consisted of two pieces, which formed a purse or bag, and in which were kept the two sacred stones, named the Urim, representing light and excellence, and the Thummim, representing perfection and completion. These stones were God-ordained instruments in which the high priest used them to inquire God about matters concerning the children of Israel. Now, some of the historical documents that I've read say that the high priest walked in and he was holding that Urim and Thummim, and when the breath of God moved upon the light, remember the pillar of fire lit the lamp that was there. And so when the pillar of fire moved upon, when the breath of God moved upon that light, it flickered, and when it flickered, then these two stones here, as it passed through one or the other, it would actually call out the different stones and the lettering on the different stones. So the light might fall upon, remember, in each of these names you have different letters, and it would actually flicker on a different letter, and basically that's how they would get an answer. Now, that's how the archaeologists kind of have figured out that's how it was. Brother Bram said something different altogether. Brother Bram said that breastplate would be hung on the wall, and when they spoke, then if the voice was true, the stones would light. And if the voice was not true, the stones would not light. Which tells me then that basically you have either a true or false answer. God, you want us to do this, yes or no? I can't go beyond what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham put it on the voice, not on the light flickering. So we can take it for all it's worth. And but the same lie is true in this hour. You all know that when somebody's preaching something, that voice just doesn't sound, it doesn't ring that bell, so to speak. You know what I mean? You know if that person is saying something and it rings according to this Urim and Thummim here, then you can recognize that that's from God. And if it's not, if it doesn't ring in this Urim and Thummim, then you don't know. You just don't know. So, Falsworth, this is the way that it was approached. The Urim and Thummim were two precious stones. When someone needed an answer from God before making an important decision, they would go to the high priest and inquire of him to take their request into the presence of God for an answer. The high priest would stand before the lamp, holding the Urim in one hand and the Thummim in the other. As the light reflected from the Urim and Thummim onto the stones of the breastplate, this flash of light provided up to 24 combinations, 2 times 12. Since there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, the flashes of light could produce strings of letters. Now, that's fine. Sounds like the first computer. You know, all a computer works on is a 0101 basis. A is, I think, 0111111 or something like that. You would know that now. And something like, I mean, I could be wrong in A. B is another string altogether. And that's all it is, on and off, on and off, on and off. Well, that's kind of what they're saying. I don't know if God really is dependent on computers. You know, I think more or less what Brother Branham said is more accurate, where the voice did something and the frequency of the voice, and it picked up whether that voice was of God or wasn't of God, and therefore the stones basically glowed. Now, to me, that would be more in line with looking at that picture of Brother Branham, the voice of God for us in this hour, and the light basically backs up the voice. It's not the light backing up a light. You see? And so, I guess that's where I would have to lay it. But anyway, we do know that in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, which means it's God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine. Now, if it's Word, and it's got to be God-breathed, because you can't have words without speaking. Well, you can have it in writing, but we're talking about, you know, words. I mean, actually, words, you hear. And if I'm not breathing, I couldn't be speaking. You couldn't hear my voice. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, from Revelation chapter 4, part 1, Brother Branham said, "Oh, tomorrow we got a great lesson, the Lord willing. Tomorrow we take the judgments, and we take the sardine stone, see what it represents, what part it played. And we take the jasper, and we take all the different stones, and we take these all down through Ezekiel, and back into Genesis, and back over to Revelations, and come down in the middle of the Bible, tie together these different stones and colors and so forth, and then we bring it right straight back to that, and see if that ain't right, see? See, if it ain't the same color and everything, just the same thing, and the same Holy Spirit, the same God, showing the same signs, same wonders, doing the same things just as He promised." So that's kind of what we're doing. Now, not to say that we're doing something Brother Branham didn't do, he said he did it. He took the colors, they all have significance. We have red, we have green, and green, and we have blue, and blue, the purple's blue. So actually, you've got blue 4 times, you got green 4 times, you got red 4 times. So there's only 12 stones. And of course, with the transparent, with the diamond, you have all of them. So, but there's only 3 colors there represented. And yet you've got 12 stones. And each of the stones means something because it has attributes representing that tribe. Now, I know that this is way beyond my ability and to understand all this, but I know that each of those tribes, there are certain characteristics about each tribe. Because each tribe, according to Joshua, he placed each tribe, and there were certain characteristics, even the name means something. You see. So there are certain characteristics and qualities that we could look at, and maybe if we get time, we'll go that deep into it. But this is tremendous, you know, what's there. And upon the breastplate were 4 rows of precious stones with 3 stones in each row. Each stone had the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Jewish historian Josephus described these stones that were laid in the breastplate, he said, in the order of their birth. Although the Hebrew names of the 12 stones were not in question, their translation is. And despite numerous attempts, the various translators cannot seem to agree to a single translation. G.W. Kuntz, in the book The Curious Lore of Precious Stones, says, in the Midrash Bemidbar, the rabbinical commentary on Numbers, the tribes are given in their order with the stones appropriate to each and the color of the tribal standard pitched in the desert camp, this color corresponding in each case with that of the tribal stone. Now, from Exodus 28, verse 17, we read, and thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardius, topaz, and carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, and a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, the ligure, the agate, and the amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And so, again, we have a picture here of the breastplate. And if you notice, the name is inscribed on the stone. It's engraved right in the stone. So we have, the first one is Judah, then Issachar, and then Zebulun, and then Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, in that order. Now, I can't read Hebrew, so I can't tell if this picture is actually transposed reversed. Because actually, green should be the last. Although this is a bluish green, so this could be accurate. Anyway. From Hebrews chapter 1, Brother Bannister, now in the Old Testament, they had three different ways that they can know a message. First, the law. That was just the law. Then they had a prophet, a dreamer, and they had the Urim Thummim. Now, that may be a little deep. The Urim Thummim was the breastplate that Aaron wore in his breast. And there was 12 stones, jasper, sardius, carbuncle, so forth, on down. They got all 12 of the big stones that was in the breastplate, showing that he was the high priest of every tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel. And this breastplate hung on a pillar in the church, and when a prophet prophesied and they wanted to be sure it was right or not, the prophet or dreamer of dreams stood before this Urim Thummim, and he told his dream or his vision, whatever he saw. And if the sacred lights, oh, do you see it? God always dwelt in the supernatural realm. The conglomeration, those lights were just normal until this voice went forth. And when the voice struck those stones, if it wasn't supernatural, they just lay dormant. But if it was supernatural, those lights all reflected the rainbow colors together, amen, then that was God speaking. That is my prophet. That dream came from me. It was according to the Urim Thummim that they judged. So that's a little bit different, the way Brother Ram lays it out there. Now, from Revelation chapter 4, part 2, the 24 elders, Brother Ram said, but when John saw him here, what was it? The day of redeeming was over. It was all over. So he seen him back in his original condition, an amber color. The sun can only shine on half the world at a time, see, as it goes around. But when John saw him, he was setting to look upon as jasper and sardius stones, amber colors. Mix the two together, you got amber. And an amber color around the throne. Oh my, I tell you, we could just go on and on. Seven spirits, seven colors, seven church ages, seven ministers, seven lights, everything in a seven. God's perfect in seven. God worked 6 days, the seventh day he rested. The world will exist 6,000 years in the 7,000 is the millennium. So, again, Brother Bam's talking about the sardine and the omega, and according, he was reading actually from the book of Revelations, speaking of the Lord. Now, it's interesting to note, most people when they read that, they say Jesus, the Son. But I've got some things to share with you. That wasn't Jesus, the Son. That was God, the Father. It was that Jesus, you see. Because Brother Bam says, that Jesus, whose spirit is here, who sat on the throne and held the book in his hands, and then who came down in this hour. It's that Jesus that John looked upon. Now, Today, even after centuries of studying concerning the breastplate of Aaron, we still cannot fully distinguish the exact color of the stones because the translation of the Hebrew words for the stones is of some uncertainty as yet. There seems to be a great deal of disagreement as to their original colors. Yet there are two which we can be very certain. One is the cornerstone, and the other is the capstone. All right, one is the cornerstone, which is the red, and the other is the capstone, which is the last stone in the breastplate. The cornerstone is that of Sardius or Sardine, and is always red. It is a symbol of flesh, and immediately we look at the breastplate of the high priest with those 12 glittering stones. And remember, it all begins with love. Red is love. Remember those colors. And red also represents the bleeding. No greater love could a man have that he lay down his life for a friend. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see. So it's talking about then letting us know that the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. I mean, before Jesus, thousands of years before Jesus ever came on the scene, that breastplate told the story. How this one who would come and give his life because of love would come back as a judge. Amber. All right. Now, okay, it's a beautiful picture, but immediately we think of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:46, where he tells us of the order. He says, first, that which is natural, afterward, that which is spiritual. The body, the spirit. All right? We know first coming and the second, which basically begins with the great parousia. We know that the breastplate we are under... We know that in the breastplate we are under the law of Moses, and it is only fitting as we look at the cornerstone of the breastplate that we should see a sardine or sardius or red stone which speaks of love. It is important that Christ is called both a sardine and jasper stone in the book of Revelations. He came, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He was made in all points like unto his brethren, but later he was immortalized and he became the jasper stone when he gained immortality. From expectation, Brother Branham said, paragraph 35, then I stood there a little while, and where the sun peeked out through the crevices of the rocks, as it was setting in the west, shining like the eye of God, looking, running to and fro through the earth, I noticed it shined against those trees. And where it looked cold up there, up that high, the ice had froze on the evergreens, making an icicle. And when it did, there come a rainbow across the valley. Now this wolf hollering up here, and its mate at the bottom answering, mine, the elk herd and the rainbow. And I had my gun down against a tree, and I run out there, and I raised my hands, and I said, O great Jehovah God, who looks down from the heaven, the God, gave you this rain, and gave us this rainbow sign. And I said, I can see another rainbow sign in Revelation 2, while Jesus setting to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, Reuben and Benjamin, the first and the last, with a rainbow crossing the seven church ages, the colors, oh, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, he that was, which is, and shall come, and the root and offspring of David, the morning star, setting behind me seven colors, God's covenant with the church that he wrote with Jesus Christ, his son, of a perfect redemption. So, Brother Branham, we got really excited, and remember, what came at that time? The revelation said what? Something of the old. What of the old? Starts with a J. It's a name. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. So this great revelation showing him that it was God, the same God that was in the Old Testament, was in his Son. You see the revelation of the Godhead. So plain, and God made it plain by what? A rainbow. And immediately Brother Branham thought of the rainbow in Revelations that says he was the sardine and jasper. I was to look upon him as sardine and jasper. And Brother Lance said, see, that's the pillar of fire. That's that great mingling of the colors together, bringing amber. You see? Okay, now from Shows to Father, Brother Bram said, and I remember as a kiddie, and I used to get out at nighttime, and the boys would be going to parties and things, but I'd get out and lay under the stars and look at the sunset and sunrises and hear God speak in the wind as it roars through the trees and so forth. God's in his universe. And if you'll just look around for him, don't you believe that? And then I noticed up here that day on the mountain, this beautiful rainbow come out. And I come out behind the tree and I begin weeping. And I just cry like a baby, and I happened to listen to the elk herd then. And the storm had scattered them, and the great males were bugling one to another, while the storm broke them up. An old gray wolf got to howling up there on the hill, and its mate answering down at the bottom. And I tell you, the deep was calling to the deep for me, and I felt like Peter said, "It's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles and stay. How up there among the wilds, why would I ever have to come out?" But there's a sickness down below the hill, of course. And there in that moment, rejoicing, I raised up my hands and I said, "Great Jehovah God, how marvelous you are, the great creator of heavens and earth. I see you in Revelations 1. Jesus sitting there with a rainbow over his head, and he's to look upon jasper and sardine stone, that's Benjamin and Reuben stone, first and last. He that was, which is, and shall come, root and offspring of David, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, standing with his covenant, with the church, he can't fail. And the seven colors in the rainbow, the seven in thine hand," he said, "and I looked up and I seen, and I thought, yeah, that rainbow, God gave that to Noah. He was to look upon like the rainbow as jasper and sardine stone, the first and the last. He that was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the morning star." And around the tree I went again, just as hard as I could go, just screaming to the top of my voice. So Brother Banner was really excited about a rainbow. Now people can call me nuts, but we got really excited about that rainbow when we were over there in Norway. Having had wonderful meetings and just the fellowship and brothers coming together that had maybe been fussing, for the last 10 years they've been, they would never get to know each other. They never got to know each other. And yet, two of them that wouldn't talk to each other hardly actually grew up in the same area. And so it was a wonderful thing that they began to come together in fellowship, and they enjoyed it and they loved it, and it was a wonderful thing that was taking place, and the rainbow came across from where we left, the boat left, to come over to where we were at. And so where the boat left and where the boat ended was this great double rainbow. There was two rainbows. A big rainbow that was just really clear, and then a rainbow above that. Like a double testimony, or a double whatever you call it. And it was so bright. And I bought the film in case we had a chance to watch it, but for you to see it. But to me, when Brother Branham got so excited, and God said, "Speak," and he spoke, and that wind went, and the storm stopped. And then God confirmed it with a great rainbow, which is, he said, the same rainbow that was there in the days of Noah. He said, "I don't believe God has a different covenant for a different people. I believe that this book that I'm reading here is the same book that Brother Branham read from. Same book that John Wesley read from. You see, it's the same Word of God. Therefore, the rainbow that I saw is the same one Brother Branham saw, just in a different place. Same one that Noah saw. And it's the same covenant. They all start with red, and they all go up through purple. You see? It's the same covenant. And so, God is showing us Himself in that, remember, that great fountain of living life coming forth in the colors. Now, now remember, the breastplate is the breastplate of what? The breastplate of judgment. Thank you. Therefore, the colors are very significant that are in the breastplate, especially the first and the last. The first is red, which is mercy, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the red is love, but it is love shown by giving life, which is green. Now, no greater love that a man has than he lay down his life for a friend. Red. And yet when the love and mercy are rejected, there is nothing left but judgment. And that is what the last stone is. Amber. A mixing of green and yellow. For the judgment of all the earth, or for the judge of all the earth, is here in judgment. The great wigged one is here. So it's a judgment. Therefore, I believe, the colors, remember the last one is jasper. Brother Bass said that color fire, if you could actually see that color. Well, you can see it right there by Duane. You see that amber color coming out. It's kind of a reddish, yellowish green. Zamber. Judgment. Showing the last. Now, from Revelation chapter 4, he said, now notice, oh, he finished his work on earth, and he took his church, and now he sends the judgment. The world rejected him, and he sends his judgment. He and his church has gone to glory. John there in the Isle of Patmos, a revelator to the church, has been the type of the church which is lifted up to glory. Come up hither, showing, you say, he represented the church. To everyone that hears this word, John represented him. Amen. John was the representative of the blood of Jesus Christ, the testimony of the word. He was a witness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with a personal fellowship with Christ, and he represented the entire church. That every man or woman, boy or girl, that ever believed in Christ and accepted him on the same grounds, he'll be summoned someday. Come up hither. And he caught up before the tribulation. Remember, the tribulation time hasn't set in yet. This is being the time of the setting of the judgment. Notice, of the setting of the judgment. John is being showed now what's going to take place after the church is gone. See? So it was. So I really believe, and I'm so excited about this because we've seen it, the same thing John saw, and this is the time of the setting up of the judgment. We are seeing all the pieces falling into place. We are seeing the setting up of the judgment, and Brother Branham said the judgment can't come until the people are in the spirit of judgment. What's the actual quote, Dwayne? Was it judgment or destruction? Destruction cannot come until the people are in the spirit for destruction. That's why it couldn't have come 40 years ago when Brother Brown told us it would come. But he said it would come, and people said, Brother Brown was off about this, off about 77, off about this and everything else. Listen, it's happening. Maybe not in your time frame, but in God's. You laugh about, you know, about the things we've been looking at for the last 4 or 5 years, but it's coming to pass. We talked about the great neurosis that would sweep the earth. It's coming to pass. People are compulsive. People are phobia right now. You can't even eat a powdered donut, you know, without people thinking you got anthrax on you. I bought some the other day. They got a good price on them now. You can buy them for really cheap. Nobody wants to eat them. They tasted good too, but you don't want to get it on your sweater. You don't want to get it on your clothes. You know, people are going to think. In fact, at the store the other day, the woman told me, she said, yeah, we had a little bit of a broken package and some of the powder spilled out. And the manager, he came over to look. He said, hey, you better get that cleaned up right away. People think we got anthrax in here. It's insane. But the people are getting ready for it. They're saying, our government's saying, they're saying, there's going to be more, wounded. There's going to be more, here on this, you know, in America than there is of our soldiers overseas. He's getting the people prepped for destruction. The papers are getting the people prepped for destruction. Our government's getting the people prepped for destruction. Why? It's the time of the setting up of the judgments. And we are watching it. What a wonderful thing to be privy to it. Because we're in Goshen. We're in Goshen. We don't want to go out of Goshen. We want to stay in the ark. Notice Revelation chapter 4, part 1, 178. Brother Ben said, Now notice again the third verse, or the second, a throne set in heaven, and one set on a throne. Now listen to this. Now the same spirit that was in the earth had left and gone to glory and was setting, the same Jesus that's with us tonight in mercy was gone to glory and setting on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon as jasper, sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about that throne in the sight like unto an emerald. That's the rainbow coming forth from where? The fountain of God. The fountain of life. So who was sitting on the throne? The Son or the Father? The same one that's here tonight. Now remember, he said if he came in a corporal body, I wouldn't believe it, didn't he? He said, if he was here with nail-scarred hands, he said, today in this hour, I wouldn't believe it. So who's here? God is here. Then who was sitting on the throne? Well, the person that was sitting on the throne handed the book to one who wasn't on the throne. Was the Lamb on the throne? No, the Lamb didn't crawl on the throne until chapter 5. When did John see him as jasper and sardine stone? Revelation chapter 1, with a rainbow over his head. So who is he talking about? God. And so the one sitting on the throne had this great rainbow all around him. Why? Because we showed it before we went to this, we showed how that rainbow came out from God and it formed that great theophany. So it all ties together. And it speaks of the same Godhead that we understand. And so let me read this again. Now notice again in the third verse, or the second, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne. Notice, one set on the throne. Now, the same Spirit that was in the earth had left and gone to glory, and was setting the same Jesus that's with us tonight in mercy, was gone to glory and setting on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon as jasper and sardine. He's not talking about the Son. He's talking about the Father. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Okay, now, let's return to the breastplate for just a moment. We can be very sure of the cornerstone of the breastplate being a sardius. And as we said before, the last stone is jasper. It is interesting, too, to notice that the two center stones are blue in color. And if this, and of this we can be sure. We had a center stone. We have a center stone blue, center stone blue. And, okay. So the very center of the breastplate, or that which is the controlling factor, is the Word of God in its pureness, or its purity. In other words, vindicated Word. Now in the colors as we have them, and as agreed to by most commentators, it is interesting to follow the progression of color as we go down either side to the jasper stone. For the most part, you see a variations of red, which is love, merging into yellow, trials or testing, then into blues, trueness, and finally into that which is green, which is life, and purple, royalty, representing the glorified immortal sons of God. Either way you go on the breastplate, to the right and down, or to the left, in all cases, it is surrounded by the two blue stones that are in the center. Exodus 28:17. We here have a reproduction of God in the midst of the 12 tribes of Israel during their wilderness wanderings. Christ in the midst of the 12 disciples, and in the future, our Lord as the completed manifestation of the memorial name. Surrounded by cleansed, redeemed, mortal Israel, the 12 tribes, nucleus of the mortal nations of the earth. So, what we've got then is God in the midst of His people. The great deep blue. And notice, in that second row which is surrounded, you've got the diamond, which is actually God Himself. All seven colors. And it's interesting, you go from deep red to purple. And green. You go to either side, you've got trueness. You've got the pale green. You've got green. You've got the white and red. God surrounded Himself by His attributes. Now, from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Brother Anson, now, just before the last church age, which was Pentecostal, is the lukewarm, the Laodicean church age, which is rejected. But remember, as Jesus was seen in the cross standing in the seven golden candlesticks, the darkest was that, was what was the farthest away from Him. His right hand and His left hand. And He was to look upon as Alpha and Omega, not the in-betweens, but the Alpha and the Omega, as He had His hand stretched. And He was jasper and sardius stone, which was Benjamin and Reuben, the first and the last. There He had His hand stretched there, and there He stood. So He's talking about, here you go the farthest away, and you have the cross, because this is crossing. And so you have the hands of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the red and the green, the beginning and the last. Now, that was from Baptism of the Holy Spirit, page 116. Now, from Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. And 9 to 11. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Now that's still quoting from Brother Branham. Now from Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 24 elders, page 196, Brother Branham said, but when John saw him there, what was it? The day of redeeming was over. It was all over. So he's seen him back in his original condition as amber color. Not only just half the world, the sun can only shine upon half the world at a time, see, as it goes around. But when John saw him, he was setting to look upon as jasper and sardius stone, amber color, mix the two together, you got amber, and an amber color around the throne. And I tell you that just We could just go on and on, seven spirits, seven colors, seven church ages, seven ministers, seven lights, everything in a seven. God's perfect in seven. God worked 6 days. The seventh day he rested. The world will exist 6,000 years, and the 7,000th is the millennium. And finally, from Israel in Egypt, Brother Bram said, page 160. And there he was standing there, or paragraph 160. And there he was standing there, what? And he was to look upon as jasper and sardius stone. What was jasper? It was Reuben stone. What was sardius? Benjamin. The first and the last. He was to look upon the first and the last, and a rainbow around his head, over the seven golden candlesticks, a rainbow, a covenant that God had made through Abraham, through Isaac, through Christ, through the church, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The robe of the seven colors that was upon Joseph, that was upon Jesus, it's upon the church today, and it protects. The body was covered up by the robe, and the church is not you. It's not the Holy Ghost that's got you covered with the blood. God's covenant predestinated before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I just had to let that out. Alright. It was about to burst me. Let me just read that over again because I think it said that. Okay. The body was covered up by the robe, and the church is not you. It's the Holy Ghost that's got you covered with the blood. Notice then, Brother Pat is letting us know then that the robe that Joseph had was synonymous with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Remember, you go right back to the beginning where we showed the great fountain. Coming out of that fountain, seven colors, and what was that? The same colors in the robe that Joseph wore, representing the mantle. Remember, Elisha got the mantle that was on Elijah? And what was that? It was the Holy Spirit anointing. And what is that? The seven colors of God? Or the seven attributes of God? Love and life and judge and these different things. So there we have it. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but I also have, and it'll be on the website, but you'll see the breakdown of the sardius, the breakdown of the scriptures that it's brought out in, and also you'll find out some of the hardness of the rocks and stuff. I think it'd be interesting if we had the mind to do it, but the frequency of the rocks and the ability to give back light and electric and all that, and I'm sure that they would have something there about them as well, but because they're all different characteristics of the same thing. But what we're going to do is close here tonight, because what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to go to Ezekiel, and we're going to show that this role was missing in the breastplate of Lucifer. And I'm not going to look at what each of these mean right now, because I don't have the means, I don't have the mental capacity to get that far into it, but I can show you what these three mean, because I've been studying that for years, actually, and I preached on that before, years ago, but I can show you what these three stones represent, and when you look at what they represent, you'll see why Lucifer doesn't have them. And so that's what we're going to get into tomorrow. So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the study. It's very interesting, Lord. We don't want to look at it just from a mental conception, but Father, we know that there's a lot of significance to that rainbow, a lot of significance to the colors, to the Urim and Thummim, the way in which you answered, and looking at that rainbow, noticing that it takes light reflecting off the rain, which is doctrine. So Lord, we got to have the doctrine first in order to reflect those colors. And not only do we have to have the doctrine, but we've also got to have the Spirit. And so it's got to be a twofold thing. We can't just have the doctrine, no spirit. We can't have the spirit, no doctrine. But we've got to have the light and the rain together. And that makes up the rainbow. And that makes up the covenant, the promise. And that makes up the manifestation of the covenant promise. And so, Lord, if we didn't have these things, if you hadn't given us a doctrine like we have today, we certainly wouldn't have the manifestation of your promise. And we'd still be wondering, as most of the people are. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for your word going forth in the way it has, and we just appreciate, Father, what you're doing for us, and we ask that you continue to do it. We pray that you continue to open our eyes and our understanding to the great manifestations of your presence among us, and your assurances that you have for us in these troubling times that we live. And so, Lord, we just now commit this service unto thee, and we ask that you would bless the remainder of the service as we would change the order to that of foot washing and communion. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name.